We are back at it on a Thursday. Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined as always by Kyle Porter. Kyle, we're almost to the weekend, man. You fired up?
We are. I really am fired up. I've got my my Hoboken iced coffee here, just getting through the rest of the week to Saturday. I was telling some buddies I came down off my Ryder Cup high. I think it hit me like last night. I just crashed at like I wanted to go to bed at like 8:15, and stayed up and read a little bit. But I'm past the Ryder Cup. I'm on to Iowa State. I'm super excited about this weekend and about the rest of Oklahoma State season.
I still can't get over that you and Rory embraced on 18. I'm not over it yet. You might be over it. And that story was sensational. I mean, an unbelievable story, and you got a lot of good feedback from it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was good. I think everybody walked away from the Ryder Cup somehow liking both teams more. yeah. At least the Americans did. I don't know how the Europeans view Patrick Reed, but a lot of Europeans on Twitter reached out and said that they loved the Patrick Reed stuff. So I don't know. I think the whole thing kind of came off as really good for golf.
Well, I've never been a Rory guy, but since he's Team Porter, I'm now Team Rory. So he won me over with his gratitude. But no, Oklahoma State hosting Iowa State. OKC Dave doesn't have to sit and stare at Jack Trice Stadium. It's a home game. That they don't have to go to the House of Horrors. That is Jack Trice.
I forgot about that. Iowa State at home. I forgot about OKC Dave just in his car, like a scene out of Breaking Bad.
Just staring at Jack Trice Stadium.
Yeah. Have you seen the line? Have you seen the line on this game?
17, right?
Yeah, 17. Yeah, it opened at 17.5. It's at 17 right now. I mean, it's a game Oklahoma State has to win. You're a 17-point favorite at home. They're a 21-point favorite at home against Central Michigan, and they lost. And you got to win this game if you have any aspirations at all to win the Big 12. And they should win this game. And, you know, we talked about this on Tuesday, but they've got this game. They got a bye week. They got Kansas. You can kind of get deep into the season and still be in the Big 12 race. So that's an exciting thing, I think, for Oklahoma State fans.
Well, after Iowa State looked like one of the worst teams on the planet after losing to Iowa 42-3, they gave TCU a pretty good game in mm-hmm. Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And they should have beaten Baylor last week. They're a little frisky under new head coach Matt Campbell. So 17 is a big number, but I'm with you. I think this is a game, when you look at their OSU schedule, this is a game you need to win, and you need to win impressively moving forward to kind of build some momentum.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's going to be interesting because they've got this two-quarterback system with Joel Lanning and Jacob Park that will apparently both be playing, even though only Lanning played against Baylor. And, you know, it's an Iowa State team that they could have and maybe should have beat Oklahoma State last year in Ames. So OSU hasn't had much trouble with them in Stillwater recently. Obviously, we all know the things that have gone on and the unspeakable things that have happened in Ames, Iowa. But, you need to come out like you did in the second half against Texas and just do that from the beginning. I hate these last 2 years. Oklahoma State's been a second-half team. It's like, why don't you just do that in the first half? And you've talked about that, especially on the defensive side. So hopefully they will, and they can get a route going into the bye week.
And I guess the quarterback named Park played Mason Rudolph for a South Carolina state championship.
Yeah.
So, like, South Carolina pride's on the line.
Yeah, big time. He started out at Georgia, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. After the game against Texas, Mason was asked about, you know, there's a lot of kids from Texas on OSU's roster. Did this game kind of mean more to them? He's like, yeah, it's like, for a lot of these guys, it'd be like me going to Columbia and beating the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
And I tried to make a joke, and I got interrupted. But I basically said, you know, the baseball team where I took care of South Carolina for you. But he didn't hear it, and I got interrupted, and I just let it go. So, but, it's going to be an interesting game. The big question, Kyle, is what are they going to wear?
I know.
Big uniform preview.
We've got, let's get to this week's uniform preview brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We've got our uniform guru. We've got him on tilt.
Justin Southwell's panicking a bit.
He's reeling. After you and I are we're just banging out helmets that don't even exist. We're picking helmets that don't exist correctly. And he's trying to crowdsource his picks this week, which is just, it's sad, really.
Yeah, the Slack app that we use for the roundtables, he He just put out a questionnaire this afternoon, like, guys, I don't know what she's gonna wear. And then all of your writers start chiming in with their ideas, and Southwell's just resorting to crowdsourcing. He's so untilled. Even though he didn't he predict all black last week? Why is he so skittish?
I don't know. Somebody and okay, do you want to give your pick and then I have an explanation for my pick?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so I'm picking somewhat traditional, but I'm going with the Bronco helmet, the white with the Bronco that they've worn, I think only once or twice. They wore it against West Virginia a couple years ago. And then the orange tops and white bottoms. But somebody suggested this, and I think it might be there might be something to it. If you look back at some of the polo, and you've said this actually, but some of the polos that Mike Gundy wears in his Monday press conferences, they kind of match the helmets on Saturday.
They're
And
tells.
yeah, and he wore a Bronco Rider polo on Monday. So
Oh, he did. I didn't see that.
we'll see. We'll see. I
Gosh, now I'm on tilt.
don't I don't think they've always matched. I don't think it's like one for one, but I'm testing the theory out this week because we haven't seen those. If we see those helmets this weekend, then it's going to be, I mean, that's the tell. That's the Rounders, Oreo,
Yeah,
the poker tell.
I wanted to save that helmet for homecoming, but I do have a feeling they'll go to the old school 80s brand. We've seen some of that on social media. I think they might wear that on homecoming.
If they don't wear that on homecoming with Barry J. Sanders on the team, that's an abomination.
Would that helmet go very well with the updated uniforms? I mean,
I don't
I don't
care. I mean,
you don't care?
Oregon's wearing the web foot or
They're
whatever.
dressing like ducks
Yeah,
at this point.
they are dressing like ducks.
Well, and to your point, there's only three home games left, Kyle. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Isn't it?
So their arsenal for home looks is getting, shoring up a bit. So they got to go all out for these last three. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Oh, I predicted black, orange, black last week. I think they might wear that against Tech, the last home game. So I want to save that. That's my I'm giving you my hand for 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks
Yeah.
from now.
Wow.
But I'm gonna go. They haven't worn Simple Pete yet, have they?
Simple Pete.
Well, we got Giant Pete, we got
Chrome Pete.
Chrome Pete, we got Phantom Pete. I'm talking. They've worn this helmet at Iowa State before. It's the white helmet with the black stripe with Pete on the side.
I like that helmet. That's the who was the running back that ran for like 240 in Ames when they wore that?
Desmond Rowland.
Yeah, with the orange sleeves like drooping down his
The Sam Bradford sleeves
to his
sticking out.
elbows. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going that helmet, black jersey, white pants. I think I'm going white, black, white. That's my prediction.
That's pretty good. I like that. I think that's definitely a possibility. I don't know if they'll go. I don't know. Gundy also talked on Monday about how much recruits like the black and gray. So they might go black again. That might have been a tell also. He's trying to tell us something, Carson. I don't know what it is,
Yeah,
but
I should probably gray, black, gray, but like a chrome, like not a chrome, but the gunmetal gray or whatever they had, the carbon fiber, that's the word I
carbon
want.
fiber. Okay, we got a guest to get to, but real quick, I want to talk about something that I posted on the website today, where it's basically a snapshot of where Oklahoma State stands over the last 100 games compared to teams nationally. Oklahoma State has the 11th best winning percentage over the last 100 or so college football games. Now, some teams have played, and this is of Power 5 teams, some teams have played more than 100, some like OSU have played less than 100. But how surprised were you to see them as the 11th best team in the country since 2009 over the last 100 games?
It's surprising, but it also illustrates what we've talked about on this podcast of how good of a job Mike Gundy's done. I
Yeah.
mean, look at the names they're involved with there. It's a who's who of college football.
Yeah.
So the crowd that's, we demand more, we want national championships, like, just stop it. He's won 73% of his games at a school that is, let's be honest, not of the same category as some of these names on the list that are above them.
Yeah, I mean, it's Clemson, Florida State, Oregon, Alabama. I mean, these are legitimately elite programs. Did you see Alabama's record over the last 100?
91-10.
Yeah, they played 101 games since 2009. They're 91-10.
Oh, that's absurd.
I mean, Oklahoma State's 70-26, which is, I mean, it's really good. I think it's 71% winning percentage.
Right.
So many.
And that's despite like massive injuries at quarterback, obviously the most important position. And we saw what happened last year in the Big 12 when starting quarterbacks get hurt. You don't have much of a chance to win the league.
Yeah.
And so that's even more impressive.
And a 2014 season that was really bad for a while, you know, and basically not having a quarterback that year. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple wins behind OU in that time, you know, and somebody mentioned this on Twitter, but you flip the 2013 game and all of a sudden OU and OSU are basically the same over the last 6 or 7 years. So just another arrow in the quiver of Mike Gundy in terms of his viability as Oklahoma State's coach over the last decade.
That's why he's so relaxed up there at the podium. He's just hanging out.
You probably didn't.
Somebody else wants to come here and do it. Come get it.
Yeah. What the hell? Just let them try.
Bring someone else in wants to come do it.
Yeah. you probably didn't see the Throwback Thursday that I posted as well.
I did see this.
The Bieber ringtone.
Yeah, that was so weird.
It was so weird, and it was so funny. And Gundy looks like he's about 27 in that in that video.
Was so staid. Well, his hair is high and tight.
Yeah,
no mullet to be found in that picture. But it was so staged, the whole Bieber ringtone thing.
Yeah, it was. But it was it was fun. It was a fun Throwback Thursday. Okay, we've got a guest.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Okay, it's time for the Coop Ale Works Guest of the Week. Coop Ale Works, brewing great-tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, which is my favorite, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get-together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works. And just remember to please drink responsibly. We got a fun guest today, Carson. We've been wanting to talk to this guy for a while.
All right, we had some technical difficulties calling our guest this week, so we cold called Thomas Fleming, a football expert on Pistols Firing blog. Thomas, what's going on?
Not much. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. This is my first time on this podcast.
Hope you brought your A game.
Yeah, hopefully I won't embarrass myself.
Yeah, for sure. No, we don't mean for this to be a backup type deal, because we've been wanting to talk to you about Oklahoma State's offense and defense and everything. What do you feel like? So you've been breaking down X's and O's all year on the website, on the blog, and been doing a great job of it. What do you think? Why do you think there's been so much criticism of somebody like Mike Yurcich, who is, I think, doing a pretty good job this year? He's got a top 40 offense in terms of points per drive scored, which is a stat that I obviously use a lot. Why do you think there's been so much criticism of him?
Well, ever since Yurcich came after the departure of Monken, who's currently at in the NFL, the mentality has kind of changed, and I think Gundy's mentality has changed with it. And in my opinion, I think Gundy has more of a hand in the offense than people give him credit for. But since that point, they've become a lot more vanilla. Some would say, you know, in certain situations, a little bit more conservative, leaning on their defense a little bit more. And so sometimes, you know, the biggest criticism of Yurcich is that people will say they're calling the same plays over and over again, and maybe they don't work, or that they're conservative. And yeah, I think in certain situations, maybe it's Gundy deciding, or maybe the staff as a whole who decides that they can afford to be more conservative in certain situations. You know, I think of situations like that 3rd and 5 against Baylor when they ran in their own territory. I feel like that was a decision made by the coaching staff and not necessarily something that Yurcich would decide on his own. So they've definitely become more conservative, but Gundy has changed his mindset. And I've heard this from a number of people around the program. He's certainly changed his mindset. He has become a little bit more conservative. And he is trying to start something new where every week is a new game plan, because he seemed to be a little frustrated with how, you know, you think of Dana Holgorsen's offense, it was certainly successful. But when you think of the history of the air raid and the run and shoot, it's the same plays over and over. And so you definitely, looking from about 2010, 2012 to now, week to week, the game plans have been completely different, and that wasn't necessarily the case. And I think Yurcich has had a hand in that, so he definitely deserves credit for that, but Gundy does as well.
What would you compare the current offense to, Thomas? I have a hard time when people ask me what offense does Oklahoma State run. Who would you compare their offense to around the country?
That's a great question. The thing about OSU, as I've mentioned before, is this year especially, they have done an excellent job at taking a game plan or a philosophy and just sticking to it for all four quarters. So last week they looked like a spread team. They used a lot of up tempo. They flexed their tight ends out more, so it wasn't much of a pro style, which really last year they were a pro style team. Definitely, they used tight ends or their cowboy back a lot of the time. So you'd have 20 personnel, meaning you have a running back and tight fullback, and for the majority of the game, that's pro style. And they went full Big Ten against Baylor. I mean that was pro style to the max, probably the most pro style that a Big 12 team has seen in a long time.
Never go full Big Ten. Never do
Yeah,
that.
but last week it was moving. I mean they were going up tempo all the time. Yursich does an excellent job at quick snaps, so they'll have certain plays that they'll implement, which is in their quick snap offense, and those are the plays designated to be run right after first downs. And so they look like a spread team. So it really just depends. They ran pretty much Baylor's playbook against Central Michigan. It really just depends on the defense and what they see and their game plan from week to week. If I had to give them a name, I call them a chameleon offense. They just kind of adjust to the environment and what they're going up against.
Yeah, and that's what I wrote something about that on the site yesterday, and I think one of my issues so far with this team has been I don't mind the offense changing. I think that's a good thing, but it doesn't feel like the defense has changed along with it. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, the defensive game plans, and I haven't watched enough film on this. This is just watching from the stands. It seems simplistic. You have your base package. They have their base nickel set, so they'll have two linebackers, four defensive linemen, and their star linebacker who plays kind of a nickel safety linebacker hybrid. And then they have a nickel package, which kind of varies from week to week. This year, it's been a lot of three down lineman sets. The problem is, a lot of the time, they'll just stay in that nickel package continuously, and teams will spread them out and pick them apart, especially over the middle. And you put an inside receiver on Jordan Burton, and the Cowboys don't necessarily have a way to defend against that. You saw that against Baylor a lot. On that third down and goal touchdown, Burton didn't really know what was going on. And they put him on a slot receiver and they threw it to him for a touchdown about 10, 12 yards out. So I've seen that a lot this season. And that's something that I don't know if it's being addressed. I don't know if that's just their base scheme and that's it. But I'll definitely keep an eye out on that in the future because it's something that I've been hearing more and more about.
What do you like most about OSU's offense this season? I know you said they've done a lot of different things. What's kind of caught your eye the most?
First of all, they've moved away from their power run game. They've stopped trying to, outrun people and trying to run it right down people's throats. Because last year they ran power probably 8 to 10 times a game, ad nauseum, and it was just, it's like watching someone skin a cat. It was painful. And this year they've moved toward the zone game. And so they've fixed their run game schematically, in my opinion. They've done what they can. And then they've added more spread principles. You'll see a lot more run pass options. And then that goes hand in hand with tempo. Just watching film and writing about it for PFB for this past game, they scored on a number of run pass options, most notably the one to Jalen McCaskey. He was wide open. So they look a lot more like a spread team, and they fit that Big 12 offense first mentality or stereotype. And then finally, they found out how to use their cowboy back. They've been using it a lot more efficiently, and then they know how to use their personnel. So Keenan Brown, you saw him being used as a pass catcher tight end. Zach Veach, he's a good run blocker, and then Blake Jarwin's kind of the do-it-all man. So they've been using their personnel better than they did last year.
Thomas, who do you think is the most, other than obviously Mason Rudolph, who's the most important
piece to the offense from like a scheme standpoint. Like the guy, if you took this guy out, it would change everything that they do.
Oh boy. I would, you'd want to say running back, but I mean, even though Justice Hill has gotten the most carries thus far, they started the season as kind of a running back by committee. So I'd probably go James Washington. If you lost him for the season, you have a lot of talent, but Washington sets up for so many other people, especially when defenses try to bracket him. And so you take a safety out. So now a safety and a corner have to cover him. It opens up the offense for guys like Jalen McCleskey, people on the other side of the field like Juwan Seals, or when Aitman comes back. So I think if you lost him, it would hurt you a lot, and people might be able to get away with bringing a safety into the box and kind of covering your guys one-on-one, or maybe focusing on McCleskey. So I feel like that would hurt the offense a good deal.
You mentioned McCleskey. Have you liked the way they've kind of utilized him this season? I think he's had a great year so far, but they've thrown down the field to him. They've thrown short to him. Have you liked the way they've used McCleskey so far?
Yes, certainly. And that I wrote an article about the Central Michigan game. They went full Baylor. They ran this seam option with McCleskey, where he is pretty much the only guy that is meant to be thrown to, and he kind of is designed to split the safeties or read the defense. So they have game planned around him well. They've used him in the short game, in the screen game. They've really put a focus on him. And he had a good freshman campaign last year. But, in his sophomore season, they put a focus on him and made him that secondary receiver next to Washington. And it's really helped the offense, because now people have to focus on the slot and on the outside receivers with guys like Seals and Washington.
I would rather go full Baylor than full Big Ten, Kyle. Any day.
Yeah, I would too. Thomas, how did you, we've talked about this a little bit, but how did you get into just learning about offenses and studying them and really immersing yourself in like kind of the details of college football?
Oh yeah, I remember we did talk about this. I discovered I was not good at playing it, so I started watching it more.
So like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, gosh, I think I bought like Madden on the Wii. It was like Madden 10 or something, and they had this playbook called Trick Plays, and it was fascinating, figuring out what a flea flicker is and like play action is just blew my mind. And there are certain things, nothing in the world is inherently interesting, but people make things interesting. And so, everyone has their thing that they could just learn everything about because they find it so captivating. And football, or strategy in sports, is that for me. Not only football, but basketball. And I'll try to do that this season. But, schematically, it fascinates me to how teams, try and scheme around getting a ball in the end zone. And just teams do it differently all across the nation, all across all forms of football. And that fascinated me. So around the age of like 12 to 13, I just started reading up on things and watching film. And it's just something that interested me. And so then I started writing about it. And I think the first time I really wrote about it and got attention when I wrote for Cowboys Ride for Free was the Florida State game, because I was so frustrated. I felt like I had to write something just to get it out of my system, because that game was so frustrating. And now I'm here, and I'm having a good time just writing about Oklahoma State sports and something that I really like doing.
You're doing a good job. And it's very similar. Royce Young started Daily Thunder because he was so frustrated with the name Oklahoma City Thunder. He didn't like the name. So that's how he started his
And now
blog.
he's on
But
SportsCenter.
right, so you're on your way, Thomas.
Thank you.
But I was basically the Urban Meyer of NCAA football on
Oh,
PlayStation
really?
2.
Yeah.
I mean, I was dominant. Like, I was like ranked online back in the day. Did your football skills, did they translate to the video games or no?
I will say I am tough to beat in NCAA. I haven't played in a
Okay.
while. But yeah, that used to be my game. And man, when I found out they were not making them anymore, it was like a piece of me just fell, like, and it will never be recovered until that comes back.
I played that game more than I went to class, but
yeah.
There you go.
I would like to say that I'm the Bob Simmons of NCAA because I was not very good.
Off tackle left and off tackle right. Yeah, got it.
Pretty much. Okay, Thomas. Hey, man, we really appreciate you coming on last minute. You've been doing a great job all year. Everybody should read Thomas on Pistols Firing. He's been breaking down the offense and looking at previewing other teams' offenses throughout the year. And, you've been doing a great job, so we appreciate that.
Thank you, Kyle, and okay. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We're back. We've been on the phone for like
about an hour and a half.
Yeah, we're just grinding out like a 40-minute podcast over 2 hours. We do need to talk about Thomas is not of age to drink yet, but we always talk about what beer our guest drinks, so whenever
we probably shouldn't talk about
whenever
it.
He turns 21,
it's a hypothetical toast.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical toast to Thomas. I think he's a I don't know, he seems like a lighter IPA guy, so maybe a native amber Coop Ale Works beer. So that would be my guess on what he's going to drink when he turns 21. By the way, renowned singer Thomas Fleming. He
sings.
Yeah, he participates in all these like shows and musicals and stuff at Oklahoma State.
Wow,
he's a
Renaissance man.
He really is. I mean, you heard him. He said, "Nothing in the world is inherently interesting. It's the people that make it interesting." He's a smart dude.
Put that on a poster.
Yeah, it's probably on like in Glenn Spencer's office right now.
Okay, this is a tough decision for me. I see him. I think he would probably be a negative split guy.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I would see him.
That's kind of Renaissance-y. He's definitely not a Vader guy because
I'm a simpleton. Yeah, I like my Vaders.
It's me, you, and Gundy drinking the Vader.
I wanted to say Briefcase Brown. I think he would go off the board. He would go.
Yeah.
Little indie with it, with the Briefcase Brown. I'll go negative split and Briefcase Brown.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, before we wrap up, we do need to hear from our other sponsor this week.
Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head to toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit.
Okay, Carson, let's finish this off. I know we both got other stuff we got to get to. We apologize. I know everybody else doesn't hear the technical difficulties we've been having, but it's been a frustrating day trying to get the podcast out. But I do appreciate Thomas coming on. He's obviously smarter than me and Carson about football, and at least the X's and O's of it. And
for sure,
it's really cool to not only talk to him but just read his stuff throughout the year, because I feel like it makes me a better thinker of and writer of Oklahoma State football.
Yeah, I remember when he first started writing about it. I saw some. I think he mentioned he used to write for Cowboys Ride for Free, and just some of his early stuff with you. It's fascinating, some of the run schemes that they, you know, back when they couldn't run the ball. He did a great job illustrating why. And at times when you read his stuff, you're like, man, can Mike Yurcich hire him as like a consultant? he's telling him exactly what he needs to do to fix here. Of course, you know, it's armchair quarterbacking, but he obviously knows his stuff. And I think the podcast needs the bye week, Kyle. We had some major technical difficulties.
We do need the bye week.
We need the bye.
What else? You got anything else you want to talk about before you're going to? You got an audible called on you last minute. You're going to Stillwater.
Yeah, I'm going to Stillwater, not OU, Texas. It'll be good. I'm going to be on the Sports Animal, co-hosting with Gideon Hamilton from 12:30 to 2:30 out at Eskimo Joe's. So if there's any listeners that want to come say hey, I'll be in this big trailer contraption that's across the street from Eskimo Joe's with the Sports Animal. So that's exciting.
Yeah, everybody should go out. That should be fun. And hey, you don't have to deal with the fair and the Dallas traffic. That's great news for you.
Yeah, like I like going to the OU Texas games. It's an event, but yeah, I don't have to deal with traffic or the fair. So that is the bright side.
Yeah, that's a good
but,
thing.
But I think we're going to try, you and I, in the future. We haven't announced anything yet, but we're going to try to do a live podcast in Stillwater. So
yeah,
students need to be on the lookout for that, and obviously anyone in town for a game needs to.
Yeah, we're going to try.
We'll talk more about it when we learn more about it. But
we're going to try to figure that out by the end of October, somewhat, maybe around homecoming, something around that time. So we'll see. Is that it? We got anything else we need to talk about?
We did our uniform prediction. You think OSU wins fairly comfortably on Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I was thinking about it. This team could be kind of 2013-ish. They lose a game. Hear me out. I'm just talking about like the way that the season goes. They lose a game early on the road in the Big 12 that they could have won. 2013, it was against West Virginia. Now they were a favorite in that game. The difference this year is they weren't a favorite in the Baylor game.
Remember how bad they looked on offense in that 2013
yeah,
West Virginia
game? And then they won out until the last game, until the OU game. So I don't know. I'm interested to see if, you know, our poll question this week was what record wins the Big 12. I keep going back and forth between 8-1 and 7-2. I guess I'm landing on 7-2 just because it doesn't seem like there's a dominant team. Where do you stand with what record wins the Big 12 this year?
I think someone will win with one loss. I don't know who it's going to be. I'd predict right now Oklahoma, but I just history tells us it's going to be one loss. So
yeah.
This is a weird year, though. So what happens if there's like a three-way tie? Have they determined?
I think we just like call Herb Street and see what he thinks and.
He just says who passes the eye test and they give it to OU.
And that's it. Yeah, that's the end. Okay. What did you think about the Joe Randall, Justice Hill comparison?
They compare more statistically, I would think, than style. But they're pretty – it's startling how close their rushing totals have been thus far in their careers at the same point.
Yeah.
But the big difference for me is, and I mentioned in our roundtable, was the receiving. I mean, Joseph Randall's hands were incredible.
Like, yeah.
2010 team with Justin Blackmon on it, Mike Gundy was saying that he had the best hands on the whole team.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. And I'm sure Justin still can probably catch the ball. They just haven't even tried to utilize that yet. So we'll see how he progresses. But it's been a great start for Justice Hill, no doubt.
Well, did you see what Lane Taylor tweeted at me today?
Yeah, he said he was more like Kendall Hunter.
Yeah, like a slimmer Kendall Hunter.
He's so much like faster, I think, than Kendall Hunter. Like Kendall Hunter was fast, don't get me wrong, but Kendall just kind of like – I always bring up that Nebraska game on the road where they just killed Nebraska, and Kendall Hunter was like a true freshman carrying like 15 yards per carry. He just kind of like glided more than like sprinted, you know what I mean? He just seemed a little more effortless with his running, whereas Hill looks like he shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. Well, you know the one thing they have in common, don't you?
They don't talk.
They don't say a word.
They don't speak.
They don't. They never talk. Never.
Mike Gundy's never heard him say a word.
Never heard him talk.
Apparently, Mike heard James Washington speak for the first time in like 2 years when he did the team prayer.
Yeah, didn't he say he wanted him to do the team prayer because he never heard him talk?
Yes.
Like, how is that even possible that he's never heard James Washington talk?
I think he like views that as like a compliment. Like he's heard them talk. He just thinks they're not like a distraction. They're not.
Yeah,
they're not cocky. They're not Dez. They're not Dez. Like, you know what I mean? They're not just out there. They're more reserved. He's heard them speak before.
I guess. Presumably.
Presumably, he's heard them say words. But I wonder if you get in the doghouse by just talking too much. I wonder if that's the anti Justice Hill.
I mean, it might be like why we see guys bench. Like they might have just like said too many words, too many sentences. I don't know.
The Amendola kid must have been talking too much to start the year. Gundy's holding like kicker tryouts while, and then out of nowhere he lets him kick a 53-yarder, and he's like, "Oh, well, I guess he can make that. Might as well kick off."
Yeah, he stopped talking, so he started playing.
He never said a word since.
Yeah. Okay, Carson. We apologize to everyone, even though you guys didn't hear it. We had some behind the scenes difficulties, but we appreciate you sticking with it. We've really enjoyed doing this podcast. We had close to 9,000 downloads in September, which is really cool.
It's exciting.
So yeah, it's been growing. We've appreciated the sponsors between Chris's University Spirit and Coop Ale Works, and we're excited about doing it for the rest of the fall. So we will talk to you guys next week, hopefully after an Oklahoma State victory on Saturday.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.